This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome in on a Friday edition, VSiN by the Books. Jensen Lewis alongside the Moose, Mark Melusis. Super Dave Ross will be back on Monday, enjoying the last few days of vacation. Well-deserved. Did see some video evidence. He's still working on the golf game, so we'll hope that that gets a little bit better over the weekend. Be good to get him back, but it's been a great week with you, Moose. Really have enjoyed it. We've also enjoyed getting the knockout round underway again yesterday. Quarterfinal, one match in tow. We got another one on deck. That's where we start our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Well, we always like when we can come back in the morning and say, nailed it. And Moose, boy, you were left, right, and center. France win to nil. Mbappe to get a goal. We hit the exacta 2-0 at plus 550. Really nice start to the quarterfinal round. And even though it was 0-0 at halftime, boy, you watched kind of the tempo of where France was, and it felt inevitable that they would eventually get a couple of goals and advance through. They are into the semifinal. They await the winner of Spain and Belgium later today at SoFi Stadium. Quick take from you, pretty much exactly what you drew up yesterday. Any surprises, even with Mbappe, and for people just joining us, he did have to go off. He got stepped on late into the 74th, 75th minute. Had to leave in the 74th, 75th minute. We'll keep an eye on him, but he was waving to the crowd as he came off. Looked like he was under his own power and looked like he was okay. But first goal scorer yesterday, talked about that one as well. Pretty much what you expected, Moose, from watching yesterday.
Yeah, well, we both did. I mean, we were all over it. And oftentimes you don't get to pat yourself on the back when you're talking about gambling. But this was a good Thursday afternoon with the World Cup returning between France and Morocco. And they were an overwhelming favorite, nearly a 4-1 favorite to get through. And you knew Morocco had to play that match in a certain way. And the longer that remained scoreless, it was better for Morocco. Unfortunately for them, you saw the quality of the French team break through. And Mbappe finally gets that first goal, and then they quickly get their second, and that was pretty much all she wrote. I mean, and so we didn't have the thrills that you had between Argentina and Egypt, didn't have the thrills that we had between England and Mexico. It wasn't necessarily that kind of match. I think you put it brilliantly, Jensen, in hour number one. You got a sense watching that match, it was just a matter of time until the French were able to get their first goal and be able to break through. And then once they did, Morocco just did not have the talent nor the horses to be able to present an attack to put that in any sort of jeopardy whatsoever. So France gets through, and I think people are anticipating a French-Spain semifinal, and we'll see if the Spanish team can get through this afternoon as they take on Belgium.
Going to be fun to watch for sure. And one spot in the semifinal is now all sewn up with France getting through. Spain still about a $3.5 favorite here to qualify in the match against Belgium. That is actually now ticked up. It was 340. It's now 360, minus 360 on DraftKings. So some La Roja money coming in here this morning as we have been talking. So some of you listening here on VSiN by the Books, pounding the Spain side to advance. Belgium, if you want to take a shot on them, plus 270 to pull what would be a monumental upset. Speaking of upsets, are we going to get an upset here on the trade market? The NBA has paused the potential deal between the LA Clippers and the Toronto Raptors, and a lot of that predicated off the investigation surrounding the Clippers and Kawhi Leonard. Now, this is focused on whether the Clippers had circumvented the salary cap by funneling money to Leonard through his $28 million endorsement deal with the now bankrupt Green banking company Aspiration. The problem there is it had a $300 million 23-year endorsement deal with the team. And oh, by the way, Steve Ballmer, the owner of the Clippers, had invested $60 million in Aspiration, yet he denies he had knowledge of Kawhi Leonard's endorsement deal. Oh, boy. Some tectonic plates could be shifting here, but Moose, this deal on hold, apparently from an NBA spokesperson, probably for the next several weeks until they get this thing cleared out.
Yeah, my question is, like, did someone just tell the front offices in the NBA that Kawhi got traded? Like, it didn't just happen Monday. Like, it's been, I mean, that deal, you know, was reported on, you know, north of a week ago. So it's been a while here when you're looking at this trade. So, you know, it's strange, the timing of it, Jensen. I think the timing of it would lead you to believe that there's something there to the investigation by the NBA, because if there was nothing there, I don't think this gets reported on, and I don't think this trade gets put on hold. You ran through it in terms of what the investigation is about. So we'll see if eventually that trade does come through and what penalties, if any at all. And I think there will be some that come Bomber and the Clippers way.
What, for whatever it's worth, Raptors right now 25-1 to win the upcoming NBA title this year. The Clippers still a bit distant here in the market. And again, if you want to find them, upwards of 500-1, just in case. And again, if you want to burn money, go right ahead and find a future on the Clippers. You've been probably burning some money if you've been betting the Yankee money line the last 3 weeks. Well, you did finally get across the line yesterday. Yankees win 12-4 to split a four-game series against the division-leading Tampa Bay Rays. They are in the nation's capital to take on the Nationals to finish the first half. Brian Cashman, Yankee general manager, available to the media yesterday, providing an update on a couple of the superstars. Giancarlo Stanton has a new calf injury to the same calf that he had injured before. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. 8 consecutive years that Giancarlo Stanton has been on the injured list at some point or another. But the bigger news here, Moose, is that Aaron Judge is going to get re-imaged with the rib injury, and they are not expecting a clean picture for when they get those results back. This is a problem considering that he's been very limited with the upper body workout that he's been able to do, if at all. Your take on the timetable, and I mean, we're 3 weeks and change from the trade deadline, and two of the big bats of the Yankee lineup nowhere close to return.
Yeah, I think when the initial injury happened with Judge, I think people were kind of earmarking, you know, mid-August, maybe late August for Judge's return. The fact that he's not asymptomatic, the fact that he's still dealing with discomfort and pain, and they don't expect that re-imaging to be clean. Maybe it ends up being September. I think the biggest takeaway as a baseball fan or Yankee fan, whatever you might be, maybe you have a future on the Yankees to win the World Series this year, is would be a case of, does Judge have enough runway in the regular season when he does return to get all the way back to being what you see from prototypical number 99 before the Yankees hit October? But not positive news when it comes to Stanton, that he re-injured the calf. Not positive news necessarily when you look at Judge. They still dealing with discomfort with that rib fracture. So, and I think we're still 3 weeks away from the MLB trade deadline. I think the Yankees are going to have to find some answers from within. And at least for one Thursday afternoon down in Tampa at the Trop yesterday, Jensen, they actually did find some offensive answers in that 12-4 win.
Yeah, they did. Ben Rice said 2 homers with 5 RBIs. Yankees now remain 4 games back of the Tampa Bay Rays for the top spot in the American League East. The top spot for the ladies' draw in Wimbledon, well, that matchup is finally set, and boy, did it come with some theatrics yesterday. Karolina Muchová outlasts Coco Gauff, who was on the precipice of punching her ticket to the Wimbledon final, but a drop shot that went into the net, kind of a gimme, if you will, knowing the pedigree of how Coco Gauff had played to that point, ends up opening the door for Muchová to eventually extend the match and defeat Coco Gauff. She finds her way through. She will take on Linda Noskova, and that will be the ladies' final tomorrow. Jannik Sinner, Novak Djokovic, that men's semifinal going to get underway here this morning, Eastern time here in the United States. And boy, what a matchup it's going to be on the other side. Arthur Ferry, the 500-1 long shot, that has been just a scintillating story here for the men's draw, up against Alexander Zverev, who will be the number two player overall in the world right now. But we will be focused in earnest on Jannik Sinner. He part of that big cross-board parlay that we have going right now. Sinner to win Wimbledon, the first of the three legs that we have, minus $1.75. To put that in perspective, he's about a $4.50 favorite on the money line head-to-head against Novak Djokovic, who is plus 340, if you want to take Joker to upset Sinner to make it to the Wimbledon final. The other two legs of that three-leg cross-board parlay we have, Rory McIlroy to win the Open next week, and he has looked quite good. A first round really to like, and he is the short shot right now at plus 345 to win the Scottish Open. And the final leg of that three-leg parlay is the Dodgers to win the World Series. Nice little tidy 39-1 cross-board parlay, but you can't get it across the line until you get the first one done. And so, Moose, we will have a watchful eye on Jannik Sinner and Novak Djokovic later this morning.
Yeah, Jensen, I have an appreciation for your creativity. I love whenever you come across these multi-sport parlays. I like it. I really do. Listen, it's the Dodgers and everybody else in Major League Baseball. You look at Sinner, obviously a favorite right now going into the semifinal matchup against Joker out there at the All England Club. And I like a little home cooking when you're looking at Rory in the Open Championship next week. So to me, that makes sense. And that's where you can look at it, where you can take somebody that is a short price, say Sinner and Wimbledon, and be able to maximize his value to go along with, obviously, the Dodgers and Major League Baseball.
Rory right now will tee off at 8:43 a.m. Eastern, currently 5-under, tied for fifth. Jordan Smith, your leader right now, a 7-under par round today. He is one ahead of Matt Fitzpatrick at minus 9. The American League West, who's going to win it? It's a wild one. Next.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Our VSiN NFL betting guide is out now and available for you to purchase. You might as well just get one of our best deals of the year. That's our football special for just $175. Inside our betting guide, you get breakdowns of all 32 teams, win totals, best bets from our VSiN experts, futures, analysis, power ratings, and so much more. And when you get that $175 football special, that is a VSiN Pro subscriber, gives you access to all the daily best bets, the real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, our AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. All you have to do is go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Again, $175 gives you full access to everything we do across every sport through the Super Bowl. VSiN.com/subscribe. Jensen Lewis, Mark Melusis with you on a Friday. We'll talk a little World Cup upcoming with Chris Vasili later on this hour. But right now we got to talk about the Wild West. That is the American League West. My goodness gracious, what ridiculousness has ensued since opening day. Now the Mariners were the $5 odds on favorite to repeat as American League West champions. They right now begin play today, just a half game back of the Texas Rangers for the top spot, albeit the win totals are what I want to start with here, Moose, because the Rangers are 47-46. The Mariners are 47-47. The Houston Astros, who were the second shortest shot to win the division on opening day, plus 275, are three games under 500, but they're only two games back of first place. Make it make sense, people. Between the American League West and the American League Central, it is almost like the Spider-Man meme looking in the mirror, pointing at each other. That's kind of what the setup has been through nearly the first half of this Major League regular season. You and I were kind of talking in the break, and I think it is a good conversation starter here. Each of these front-running teams has their issue, right? The Mariners, who I had picked to not only win the West but win the American League this year, have really had their issues trying to score. Make no mistake, they can pitch, and that's a big reason why they are where they are right now. The Astros, they can hit, they can't pitch. Texas, can they hit? Yeah. Can they pitch? I don't know. Hands in the air. I ask you, Moose, where do you handicap the American League West so far here this year?
Yeah, well, you know, and then I think you have to ask yourself, like, what is, you know, what's sustainable from those aspects of it when you're looking at the strengths of the team? I mean, they all have warts, right? So, I mean, there's no other way to cut it. There's no other way to couch it. And I think you ran through it really well there, Jensen. You know, I'd probably lean into the pitching, you know, and go where, you know, where we were before pre-flop, before the season started in terms of Seattle, and then where they are right now in terms of winning the American League West. I think pitching matters, especially as we get into the dog days of August, late in the season. I trust Seattle's pitching. Listen, if Houston had any kind of quality arms, I mean, they have some, but I'm talking about overall, if majority, I mean, we'd be looking at an Astro team significantly different than we are right now because of how good that offense can be. And Texas is, the kids would say, is like, meh. I mean, they're okay both ways, right? I mean, they're you know, nothing overwhelms you one way or the other, whether it be offense or whether it be pitching. They're kind of just middle of the road. But what it shows you is that, especially in the American League, these teams have time to be able to kind of find themselves because nobody's running away with anything. And that's the differentiation between the American League and the National League. If you asked me on this Friday, Jensen, and I know you did, which team would you go with? I'd lean into the pitching of Seattle because I do think that's real. I don't think that's going anywhere. The offense can't be. I think they've scored 383 runs going into action today as a team. That's not particularly good. I think they trail the top team in the American League by the part of, you know, 50, 60 runs, something of that nature. So that's not exactly good, but I think the offense will come around. I expect them to add at the MLB trade deadline. And the pitching to me for Seattle, I trust that as being the most sustainable of the three strengths when we're looking at each of them, one of these teams.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Nothing has really disparaged me from sticking with where I was in the preseason, right out of spring training. Mariners, for what it's worth, they are the odds on favorite right now, -$1.45 to win the division. Texas at +240, the Astros just short of 5-1. And then we get into some bleak territory there with the Athletics at 40-1. And we don't even need to talk about the Angels. It is worth repeating that, you know, we like to call him Trader Jerry because Jerry DePoto loves a deal that he can make at any point for anybody. I had a chance to catch up with him this past weekend with Jim Bowden on MLB Network Radio Series Channel 89. And Jim kind of pressed him a little bit on, sounds like you're intrigued to make a deal for a middle of the order bat and, you know, might be able to use, you know, one of your areas of depth with starting pitching to be able to acquire it. I think if you look at kind of where Seattle's makeup is and their roster construction, if you were to tell me that Cal Raleigh would struggle the way that he has for the entirety of the first half of the year, and yes, he had to deal with an injury, but you would be at this point and still just a half game out of first place, I think you would take it. Now, for what it's worth, the Mariners are 26th in runs scored. They are 13th in homers, so they've been able to hit their fair share of balls out of the ballpark. But it is a more left-handed heavy lineup, and I think you're looking at, you know, even within the division, I don't know if they go get a Christian Walker because they have Josh Naylor at first. They would have a spot open in their designated hitter role, and, you know, maybe you find a way to go get another right-handed bat and a middle of the order bat that would be able to help and initially, you know, find ways to create that offset. It's not clear cut because, Moose, we've talked about it for most of the week. There just aren't that many sellers presenting themselves. And a lot of that is predicated on where the wild card race is. So let me just say again, if the playoffs started today, the Mariners would be the final wild card team in the American League. You now have, with the way that the Tigers and the Red Sox have caught fire, and the Red Sox have won six, the Tigers have won five respectively, you have six teams within 3.5 games for the final wild card spot. And if you want to add in the Guardians, who are just a game ahead of the Mariners for the number five spot in the American League postseason, okay, that now gives you seven teams within 4.5 games of each other. And oh, by the way, Baltimore is only four games out of a playoff spot. So the American League is a circus when it comes to trying to figure out who to hitch your wagon to. I'll throw this out to you, and I'm interested in your thought. Would you rather have, looking at where the Mariners are for the divisional price, or would you look at to make the playoffs price for the Texas Rangers? And I'll find one that might be a little more advantageous for you. The Rangers to make the playoffs are minus $1.70. Would you rather have that, or would you rather take a shot on them being able to outlast the Mariners? And I'll throw the Astros in for the time being. We'll see if their pitching can last an entire season. Rather have the Rangers minus $1.70 to make the postseason, or do you want to take them at almost 2.5-1 to win the West?
Yeah, great question. You know, quick handicap here. I'd probably rather take Texas to make the playoffs than to win the division. Just from that aspect of it. And listen, Texas is one of the teams that we haven't, you know, spent a ton of time on. There are things to like there. There just are. I mean, the offense needs to get going a little bit. There's no question. They have not been what you expected they were going to be coming into the season. Pitching is okay. They're kind of the middle of the road team when you're looking at it and say, well, it's got to get a little bit better. But I'd probably take Texas here to make the playoffs as compared to win the division. You hit upon it in terms of Cal Raleigh, who's been terrible this year for Seattle. When you look at it, it'd be one thing if you want to say his average is below 200, but he's got 20 home runs on the season. He's got 9 home runs. He's got 29 RBIs in 62 games. He's hitting .166. His on-base percentage is less than 29%. This is now, no one expected him to replicate the 60 home runs that he hit a year ago, but he's not even in that 34, 30, 27 home run range that you're getting from Kyle Raleigh. So there's got to be some improvement from within if you're a Seattle backer. The question is, can that pitching be able to hold up, and can they be able to win enough games here to where that offense starts to find something? And you met reference a conversation that you and Jim had with Jerry DePoto this past weekend on MLB Network Radio. Well, I would say this, I'd be surprised if they weren't aggressive at the MLB trade deadline. They were a year ago. I think they will be this year, because I think there are a lot of GMs that go around the American League and say, listen, the Yankees might be great name. They're not a great baseball team. Do you necessarily believe in the Tampa Bay Rays? Like, this is a league that is completely and utterly wide open. And if we make the right necessary moves, we could find ourselves in the Fall Classic. I think there are a lot of general managers across the American League that are making that argument to themselves on this Friday morning.
I made just two World Series only bets before the season in the American League, and it was the Orioles and the Rangers, both at 30-1. I did not think that I would have to relook at the Rangers and say, well, maybe that wasn't so bad after all. We'll see what happens. And Chris Young, president of baseball operations there, deep in the heart of Texas, what they decide to do, what we know, it's going to be a wild finish in the wild American League West. What about the AFC North? Our daily gridiron stop, the Steel City. We break down Pittsburgh when you come back.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Football season is upon us, and that means it's Winner's Circle Proxy and VSiN's great giveaway of two incredible prize packages that will put two lucky fans into the world's biggest football contest for free. One winner will get the $1,000 entry into Circa Survivor, the other the $1,000 entry into Circa Millions. Both winners, though, we'll also receive a full season Winner's Circle Proxy service, a VSiN studio tour, and a free month of VSiN Pro. All you have to do is enter by August 2nd. That's a Sunday for your chance to win. Go to winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. Again, winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. Jensen Lewis and Mark Malusis alongside. It has been a great countdown to Canton as we are ever so close to the NFL season getting underway. Next stop, the Steel City. That's where we start today's edition of the Daily Gridiron. Hut,
hut. This is the Daily Gridiron.
Well, the end of the Mike Tomlin era happened this offseason. Enter another big Mike. Mike McCarthy, ex-Packers and Cowboys head coach, takes over in his own stomping grounds here, visibly emotional at the press conference. You could tell it meant so much for the opportunity to have this job be available, let alone be the man tasked to try and lead Pittsburgh back to the promised land. Well, the other domino that fell, Aaron Rodgers coming back now with Big Mike in tow, again, helping the Steelers win the AFC North just a season ago. The ripe old age of 42, he will turn 43 at the end of 2026. And yes, that is the operative phrase there, the end. That is going to be it for Aaron Rodgers. As he said, this will be his final season in the National Football League. Couple of key additions here, Moose, and I'll get your take on where the offseason has been to date here for the Steelers. The big one is the wide receiver position. Michael Pittman Jr. in the trade with the Indianapolis Colts, a very high reliability and high volume target to pair with DK Metcalf, giving Aaron Rodgers another trusted veteran. Rico Dowdle on a 2-year deal coming over. He and Jaylen Warren will man the backfield there for Aaron Rodgers. And then also looking at their draft, a couple of top picks, including round two, Jeremy Bernard, who's also going to be another wide receiver that's going to add some youth and speed to that wide receiver room. And then is it the heir apparent? In Drew Aller, quarterback from Penn State, they took him with a third-round selection, and we'll see what his emphasis will look like in the preseason. You know, a lot of overhaul is what we heard from what the Steelers folks had gotten their hands on Drew Aller after his tenure there with James Franklin in Penn State. Okay, I think we all anticipate the North continuing to have the usual stipulation of it's brutal, it's tough, expected to be the Ravens and the Bengals. Where do we have the Steelers in the pecking order in your eyes of potential repeat as champions of the AFC North?
Yeah, I think they're exactly where they need to be. And that is third choice, behind what we see in Baltimore, even though there's a coaching change there and John Harbaugh now the head coach of the New York Giants. You look at the Cincinnati Bengals, the question is, can Burrow stay healthy the entire year? Can they keep him upright, right? But you know what that passing game is like, and Burrow makes everyone around him better, and how special the receivers are, and Higgins and Jamar Choi. When you're looking at the wide receivers out there in Cincinnati, and they improve that defense with Dexter Lawrence and the acquisition from him for the New York Giants, right? And so that was a point of contention for the Cincinnati Bengals. I think when you look at this Pittsburgh Steelers team, I think – I'm not concerned about the running game. I like Dowdle coming over from Carolina. He had a really good year last year for the Carolina Panthers, and Jaylen Warren, obviously the holdover from a year ago. Pittman, I thought, was really good and showed you the ability to play through, pain as well and discomfort and being banged up, back injury a couple years ago, and he is still suiting up and going out there and playing. So the toughness is real there. We know how good DK Metcalf can be. Offensive line, not going to be an issue. A little old in the secondary when you're looking at guys like Ramsey and Jamal Dean. Dean still can play really, really well. But I think the identity of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Jensen, is when you think about this team and you think about the fact that this has been the identity of Mike Tomlin for all these years. And now you step in Mike McCarthy taking over for him. What's the identity here of the Pittsburgh Steelers? Because the one thing you would say, well, they haven't won a playoff game in years. They've been disappointing. They've not necessarily been championship quality, but during the regular season, Tomlin was able to deal and his staff a lot of injuries. It was able to squeeze out and find ways to win games, finishing above 500. What does it look like year number one for Mike McCarthy? And as you mentioned, they have to deal with all the drama that comes along with Aaron Rodgers, and this expected to be his swan song season in the National Football League. And then what caliber of play do you get from Aaron Rodgers at the quarterback position? So Even with some change in Baltimore from a head coaching perspective, some turnover in Cincinnati to the positive, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are right where they needed to be in the betting market in terms of coming into the season as the third betting choice in the AFC North.
Yeah, what do we know with Mike McCarthy? A lot of play action, a lot of RPO in the run game going to be featured there. So trying to take probably some initial pressure off of an aged Aaron Rodgers to have to win games for you. Of course, the addition of Dowdle to go along with Jaylen Warren will certainly help in that regard. And then I think Jeremy Bernard going to onboard pretty quickly. Obviously plays in a pro-style offense there coming out of the University of Alabama. So again, DK Metcalf on one side, Michael Pittman Jr. on the other, Jeremy Bernard potentially in the slot. That's a nice little starting point if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers offense. The starting point is the operative phrase here too, because if you look at their schedule, it is relatively easy as far as opponent win percentage from just a year ago. Our VSiN NFL betting guide pegging the Steelers' strength of schedule as 26th toughest out of the 32 teams. So favorable in that regard, but maybe a little front end heavy. Okay. The Atlanta Falcons will come to Pittsburgh. And that has been a decided advantage to the Steelers. One of our key trends in the NFL betting guide, Pittsburgh has won the last five straight up and ATS against the Atlanta Falcons here. So that's a nice little spot if you want to think the trend continues as the Steelers will open week one at home. Then a trip to Foxborough and then back home for back-to-back games within the division. And it's a quick turnaround in week four against the Browns, in which they'll have to travel for Thursday night football. You get through the first 4 weeks here, Moose, and if you can be at least 500, I think that's a win and then some. If you look at the middle portion of that schedule, boy, there's some chances for them to kind of get right and maybe pick up a couple of wins with that bye week separating the Browns at home and then Sunday Night Football in Cincinnati. Think of the possibilities, and I know they got to go overseas to play the Saints in Paris, but that's pretty manageable, right? The first 8 weeks of the year, the Patriots are going to be a tough test in week two, but you don't have the Ravens until week 15. Of course, the arch rival there alongside with the Browns. I think this kind of sets up decently if, as you said, they can be relatively healthy through the first half of the season.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and that assessment. I think the difficult aspect of it, they play a Thursday night football game. They play two Sunday night football games. They play on Black Friday. They play a Monday night football game. And you reference it, Jensen, they're over in Paris, right? And then if you throw that schedule back up one more time, look at that stretch after their bye week in Cincinnati against the Bengals, at the Eagles, Broncos on Black Friday, then Texans on Sunday Night Football, and then down in Jacksonville on Monday Night Football, and then you come back and you take on the Baltimore Ravens in Pittsburgh. So that is you need to build up a little bit of a little bit of space and get off to that good start, because that is a very, very daunting 6-game stretch for the Pittsburgh Steelers, especially, and you like the fact they'd be coming off the bye week, then maybe they get a little bit healthier if they're dealing with some injuries. The concerns I have, it's not necessarily about McCarthy and his coaching. I think sometimes he gets undervalued and gets way too ridiculed. The question I have with Rodgers is, what version of Aaron Rodgers are we going to get? And you mentioned in terms of, the rookie wide receiver, who I like, right? I really do. But we've seen it historically speaking with Rodgers in his multiple stops, whether it be early on in Pittsburgh, the Jets, and obviously for all those years with the Green Bay Packers, it takes him time to build up a rapport with younger wide receivers. So that would be the impact there. Defensively, I think you know what you're going to get. I think offensively, to me, in that passing game, I think at times could be a little hit and miss, but it's an easier schedule. They should be able to get off to a good start. You mentioned it, 26th toughest schedule in the NFL this year. That 6-game stretch following their week 9 bye week is really where you're going to learn just how good this Pittsburgh Steelers team is in 2026.
Yeah, and one final note here from our VSiN NFL betting guide. Great little explanation on why some of our experts think the under win total is the way to go. Geographically, the schedule isn't bad for Pittsburgh, as their only games in a different time zone will be in Paris and Nashville. They do have three sets of those back-to-back road games, including no bye after the Paris game. and a trio of short week games. Can they get it done when the McCarthy offense is installed, the schedule being as tough as it is, and a quarterback who's going to be 43 years old? We shall see. You are watching and listening to VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Edition of VSiN by the Books, Jensen Lewis, alongside the Moose, Mark Melusis. Been great to have Moose all week filling in for Dave. Super Dave will be back next Monday in his customary post. And it has been fabulous all World Cup long to have one of our favorites here on the network. He has been absolute dynamite. Betting analyst at Covers, none other than the great Chris Vasili. He joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Give him a follow on X at MC_Silly3. Brother, I said in a commercial break, I might as well call you the prophet. What was it? Was it 12 straight wagers on the World Cup that you had in the bag? And if someone had the foresight to say, you know what, I'm just going to roll over all these winners. They've been up, what, $250,000? Either way, you've been fantastic. Great to have you alongside. We get the France 2-0 win yesterday. I'll get a quick thought from you on how that transpired. And then set us up today. Winner of Spain and Belgium will meet Le Bleu after they have that match in SoFi Stadium.
Yeah, it was a great run in the round of 32, big 11-game win streak, perfect record there, which was incredible. But yeah, looking forward to the France-Morocco game yesterday. I just thought it was a mismatch in just pure talent and pure class. I said on Money Moves yesterday that, you know, France was undervalued in this spot. I think they won, you know, that game probably 9 out of 10 times instead of, you know, 6 out of 10 where the odds were putting them. You know, the stats favored them, the underlying metrics favored them. And yeah, Morocco, you know, not exactly promising with their starting lineup. France was just too good, as they always are. And yeah, if we look, if we get that France-Spain semifinal, it, you know, has the makings of a final written all over it. It's going to be a very good game. I would lean toward Spain just based on their defensive ability. But yeah, that'll be a good matchup if we get it in the semis.
Chris, when you look at Spain and their matchup against Belgium today, what do you like in terms from a betting perspective in that matchup?
Yeah, so this game's interesting. Like, the numbers indicate that Spain probably win to nil just based on their defensive record, but the market's actually favoring both or yes at -125, which is where I'm going with that. I do believe this Belgium side is made up in a way that they can trouble this Spain defense. Belgium have what Austria and Portugal before them didn't have, and that's kind of willing runners, creativity in the midfield, and pacey, you know, strikers up front. I do think this Spanish high line is kind of playing with fire at times. This Belgium side, they're not going to see much of the ball, which is fine. They still have good underlying metrics, 70 attempts inside the penalty area. They lead the tournament in that regard, and they're only slightly behind Spain in terms of expected goals, 10.28 to 10.49. So they do take their chances well. We know what we're going to get with Spain. They're going to play through Lamine Yamal out wide. They're going to generate chances. They're likely going to score. That's what they always do. But I think Belgium is key to this handicap, and I do think they're able to trouble this Spanish defense, who has, you know, an unblemished record coming into this game.
Chris, I built a parlay, and I'll throw it by you to see if this kind of jives with where your handicap is. Moose and I were kind of workshopping. We felt France win to nil yesterday might be a good angle. I kind of went back to it again today, but I went a different way. I went with Spain to advance and then parlayed that with the under 3.5 in the 90 minutes plus stoppage time. That was $1.20 with that two-leg parlay. Are we in kind of that arena that you could subscribe to both those legs having a high percentage chance of getting home?
Yes, I do like that. I do think Spain is the better team. Obviously, I think they're going to get the job done. They're going to find a way. That 3.5 is much more enticing than obviously the 2.5. I could see this game finishing 2-1 or possibly 1-1 in extra time. I think Belgium, you know, the way they're coming into this game with that momentum of, you know, the way they handled the United States in the round of 16, they played a tactically great contest. I do think they're riding high in the momentum. It wouldn't shock me to see, you know, a 2-1 Spain victory. So yeah, Spain to advance and under 3.5. I think that added extra half goal gives his value for sure.
Chris, want to ask you about England and Norway. Haaland, obviously, you know, the true Viking has been unbelievable for Norway. We know that Kane and England have been, that matchup against Mexico and Stadio Azteca was maybe the match of the tournament up until this point in time when they held off down a man final 35 minutes of that match. How about England and Norway, where you see the three-way line for England? They're a slight favorite of minus 115.
Yeah, this game, I think, has the chance to be, you know, the best game of the four. I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to be holding an under ticket in this game with just the way Erling Haaland and Harry Kane are in fine form. So I'm going over 2.5 goals, maybe, you know, a little bit of a square play here, but minus 138, I'll take that every day. You know, the one thing about Norway, I've watched them through World Cup qualifying. They haven't exactly wavered from their identity in this tournament. They attack in waves. They've got creativity through the midfield. You know, Erling Haaland, a man possessed. He always finds a way to find the back of the net. And this England side, you know, they've not exactly been airtight. You know, the two offenses that they did face that, you know, can, you know, put pressure on them and find the back of the net. Croatia, Mexico, they allowed two goals in both of those games. I know they were, a man down for the better part of that Mexico game. But, you know, when I look at this England side, it does feel like a different team this tournament than it does in years past. They're playing not to lose. If that makes sense, I think they're playing more freely. They're playing more confidently. They can trouble this Norway backside, who's not airtight by any stretch of the imagination. So, you know, Harry Kane, Erling Haaland, Jude Bellingham scoring. There's just too many attackers on this pitch to, live in a world where it's going to be a 0-0. I think over 2.5 goals is the best play of the Saturday slate.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Chris Vasili, betting analyst at Covers, our guest here on VSiN by the Books, talking all things World Cup quarterfinal action. I made the analogy, Chris, in NFL terms, Norway, England remind me of watching the Rams and the Seahawks go at each other last year, just back and forth, numbers forward. I would love to be at either of those watch parties on their native soil in Norway and England local time into the late primetime hours there overseas on Saturday night. That leaves us with the team that just will not go away, the defending champs of Argentina. They continue to have a theater of the dramatic. Cape Verde, listen, a match that we'll remember forever in this World Cup. And then the ultimate improbable comeback in regulation, not extra time, people. In regulation, as Argentina scored three unanswered after the 75th minute, they take out Egypt to qualify into the quarterfinal. It's been 72 years since Switzerland had been to the quarterfinal round. They find themselves up against it here. Does the clock strike midnight on the defending champs, or do they continue what feels like just a team of destiny run here and advance into the semifinal?
Yeah, Jensen, that was a great comeback. I mean, you think about how many teams would probably throw in the towel down 2-0 with 11 minutes left to go in a World Cup game. This team is just, you know, they find a way to do it, which is, you know, a testament to kind of their leadership, their depth, their ability. Obviously, you know, having the best player in the world, Lionel Messi, you know, still repping their jersey, gives them a fighter's chance in basically every game, no matter how far they're down. But I do like Argentina money line, and I'm going to parlay with Messi to score or assist. We'll get about plus 110 out of that little SGP there. I do think, you know, the Swiss, they've been good. I've been on them, you know, harping about them being underrated, you know, coming into the tournament, and here they are in the final eight. I do think the clock strikes midnight for the Swiss. I don't think they're, in their match against Colombia, they were very lucky to advance. Obviously, you know, coin flipping penalties, but Colombia missed a bunch of sitters that could have just, you know, ended that game in regulation and in extra time at that. I just think that game against Egypt for Argentina was kind of the moment that, you know, can kind of change everything. Obviously, they're still, you know, the defending champions. They're going to fight to the very end. And, you know, I just think they're the better team from back to front. So Argentina money line and parlay that with Messi to score or assist plus 110. It extracts a little bit of value if you're looking at the how to bet this night game on Saturday.
Chris, from your handicap, do you think if we get France and Spain, the win, that is the true World Cup final, that whoever wins that match is going to win?
I think it's worthy of a World Cup final just based on, you know, how big of a game it is, Spain versus France. You know, unfortunately, they're both got stuck on the left side of the bracket, if you will. I do still like Argentina's chances. I know it's kind of, you know, a little bit crazy to say just based on how we've seen Spain, how we've seen France, and kind of what Argentina has been doing in the knockout rounds. I'm sitting on an Argentina ticket from pre-tournament, so I'm still rooting for this Argentina ticket. I do like it. But yeah, Spain or France, yeah, that's worthy of a final on its own. And unfortunately for one of those nations, they're going to exit before they get there.
I can tell you who the broadcasting partners are rooting for, as well as FIFA. Oh my God, do they want the four behemoths to be in there in the semifinal round? I'm not saying it's rigged, people. I'm just saying there is a severe monetary rooting interest from some of those that will be bringing the action live to you. Chris Vasili, betting analyst that covers, bringing us all the great selections throughout the World Cup. Brother, great to catch up with you. We'll do it again before this thing's all said and done. Good luck on your bets. We'll talk again soon, brother. Thanks again.
Thanks, fellas. Have a good one.
Thanks, right, Chris. There he is, Chris Vasili on the Progressive guest line. Not only do we have some cross-board parlays still active, and there will be decided rooting interest not only today and tomorrow, we have got a great final series weekend of the first half set up. Daily Diamond next, and a great viewer email on award markets in baseball. Come back for this discussion. I'll get the Moose's take on it when you come back on VSiN by the Books.